إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. Just quickly, I'd like to review some of what we discussed in the previous lecture, in lecture number 16, before going on to the points for today. Last week, we completed point number 60, which deals with the matters related to the resurrection, that all the people would be gathered together, barefooted, naked, uncircumcised, and without anything with them. And all of the people would stand in the mawqif, the appointed place of standing for account, until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would intercede for them for the judgment to begin. And that is what is known as al-shafa'a al-uzma, or the great intercession. And then after that intercession, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call all the people to give account for their deeds. Then the scales, al-mawazin, will be set up, and the records, al-dawaween, distributed, and the books of deeds, suhuf al-a'mal, will be dispersed to the right and to the left, or to the right hands and to the left hands. Yani those who will receive their books in their right hands, the people of paradise, and those who will receive their books in their left hands, the people who will be punished in the hellfire, or those who receive theirs behind their back, as mentioned in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, chapter 84, verses 7 through 12. Then we talk about point number 61, in which Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah, in his book Numat Al-Itiqad Al-Hadi Ila Sabil Al-Rashad, he mentions in point number 61 the mizan, or the balance, that the mizan has two scales, kaffatan and a lisan, tongue, which we said it is not confirmed in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that al-mizan, that it would have a tongue, but it has two scales by which the actions and the deeds of the people will be weighed. Then those whose balance of good deeds are heavy, they will be successful, and the opposite, those whose good deeds are light, or in fact who have no good deeds, meaning the disbelievers primarily, they would be punished in the hellfire, and perhaps also some of the believers, some of the people who died on Tawheed but who had sins, if Allah does not forgive them, and if they have not sincerely repented in this life, then they may also be punished for some time before being taken out of the fire. And all of this we will discuss in more detail as we go along. And the last point that Imam Ibn Qudamah mentioned, point number 62, he said, وَلِنَبِيِّنَ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَوْضٌ فِي الْقِيَامَةِ, that for our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, there is a hawd, a fountain, or a pond, that will be there for him on the day of resurrection, and its water is more white than milk and sweeter than honey, and its drinking vessels are similar or equal to the number of the stars in the sky, and whoever drank from it would never be thirsty again. All of these things we discussed in some detail, and the most important of what I wanted to mention before going on from the previous lecture is in the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he mentions a hadith where it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the meaning of it is that the water for the Hawd of the Prophet ﷺ would come from Al-Kawthar, the river that would be for him in paradise. And that hadith, which is quoted here in the explanation of the sharh of the book, is reported from the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. And he says here that Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir said that the hadith is hasan. It's isnad and it's metin. The isnad, the chain of narrators, as well as the metin, the text of the hadith, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, said that it is hasan. However, some of the scholars spoke about this hadith, and it had been declared to be weak due to one of the narrators, Abdul ibn Duhayya, who is known to have been a weak or da'if narrator. Therefore, that hadith shouldn't be classified as hasan, but it should be classified as da'if. In any case, I said last week that I didn't have a chance to check that hadith, but it seemed as though I remember reading an authentic hadith which is of similar meaning. And alhamdulillah, after searching, I did find a number of hadith related to the Hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from amongst those hadith is a hadith reported in the Sahih of Muslim on the authority of Thawban radiyallahu anhu. He said, su'ila an sharabihi, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the drinking, the water of the Hawd, faqala ashaddu bayadan min al-labn wa ahla min al-asl, that it would be more white than milk and sweeter than honey. يغط أو يصب أو يثيل فيه ميذابان يمدان أو يمدانه من الجنة, that Hawd, it would have two spouts pouring into it. Water would be pouring into the Hawd from these two spouts, and that water would be coming from al-Jannah, from the paradise. And concerning those two spouts, he said, أَحَدُهُمَا مِنْ ذَهَبْ وَالْآخَرُ مِنْ وَرَقْ, that one of them would be from gold, made from gold, and the other made from silver. So this hadith confirms the meaning of the hadith that the Shaykh mentions in his explanation, that the Hawd of the Prophet ﷺ, it would be supplied with water from al-Jannah. Also, in the handout last week, inshallah we will recopy the handout from last week because I neglected to add any questions to it. So inshallah, when you get the handout, the new handout for last week, you will find that there are some questions there that you should pay attention to. From amongst them, quickly we'll just look at them because there are many questions. The first of them, will Allah expose the deeds of the believer in the same way as the kafir? And we said in the explanation last week that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring the believer, when he takes his account from him, near to him and ask him about his actions. Did you do such and such and so? And he will agree, of course, to everything that he has done. But he would not expose him to all of the people on the plain where the people will be gathered for judgment. Whereas the kafir, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah would expose them and their deeds in front of all of the people, all of the people who would be standing waiting for judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not expose the deeds of the believer in the same way that he would expose the disbeliever. Well, some people enter al-Jannah without hisab, account, or azab, punishment. And we said that in fact, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to one of the companions, Uqasa radiallahu anhu, that he would be one of the 70,000 people who would enter the paradise bila hisab wala azab, with no accounting and no punishment. Yani they would enter paradise directly without any account being taken from them. And also we mentioned other hadith mentioned by Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, and others of the scholars collected those hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that along with every 1,000 of them, or with every one of them, there would be 70,000 more of the believers from his ummah that would also enter the paradise without accounting and without punishment. The third question, which will be the first ummah called to account on the day of resurrection? To come afterwards. And we said that it's mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that his ummah is the last ummah, yani the last people who were called, but they will be the first people to be judged on Yawm al-Qiyamah. What is the first right of Allah's rights? that we will be questioned about, and also in the hadith the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the first of the rights of Allah that he has over us, the first thing that we will be called to account for is as-salat. Naam. What is the first matter to be settled in the disputes between the people? Also the Prophet ﷺ said that the first thing that will be settled between the disputes of the people are matters related to shedding of blood. Is it correct to say that al-mizan, the balance, has two scales and a tongue? No, it's not correct. We should say that it has two scales, but not to say that it has a tongue, because the hadith concerning this is unauthentic. Will there be many balances, mawazin, or one mizan? And the Shaykh discussed this in the sharh. He said that the scholars differ about it. Some of them said that there would be many, because in the Quran it's always mentioned in the plural, mawazin. But in the hadith, it's only mentioned in the singular, mizan. So some of the scholars took the opinion that it's that there would be many, and some of the scholars took the opinion that it would be only one. What will be weighed in the scales on the Day of Judgment? We said that also the scholars differed about this. Some of them said that the deeds of the people would be weighed. According to the hadith that mentions, hadith, and also in the Quran, they mention the deeds of the people will be weighed, such as the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that there are two words, kalimatani, habibatani ila rahmani, thaqilatani fil mizani, khafifatani fil lisani, subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. That this hadith and other such hadith indicate that deeds of the people will be weighed, and other proofs indicate that the books or the records of the people will be weighed, and this is indicated in the hadith of the bitaqa, the person who had one good deed written for him. It was the deed of his testimony of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when all of his bad deeds were presented against him and put in one scale, his records were put in one scale, and his record of one good deed, the testimony of La ilaha illallah, was put in the other scale, which is a proof also that the records of the people will be weighed. And in some of the hadith, it's mentioned in the Sahih that a person, a very, very heavy man who ate and drank much, will be put in the scale, and he wouldn't be equal in front of Allah to the weight of the wing of a fly or a gnat. So all of these are indications of the possibility that it may be the books or the records that are weighed, or the actions of deeds of the people that are weighed, or the people themselves may be weighed. And some of the scholars said that we can combine these opinions by saying that the records would be weighed, but their weight or lightness would be dependent upon the deeds that are written in them. In that sense, the deeds are weighed, and the person being weighed means that his value or worth, according to his actions of good or bad, is that which would be weighed. So it is sort of a reconciliation of the three opinions. Who are those who will receive their records in their right hands? The fortunate people, the people of paradise. Who are those who receive their records in their left hands or behind their backs? The unfortunate ones who would be punished in hellfire. What is the meaning of hisab yasir, easy reckoning? That was mentioned in the hadith in which Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the meaning of, when he was asking so many times, oh Allah, give me an easy reckoning, and he said it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look at the deeds of a person, look at their record of their deeds, and he would pardon them, he would overlook their bad deeds and give them the record of their good deeds. This is what is called hisab and yasira, easy reckoning. Mentioned something about al-hawd, the fountain or pond of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in last week's discussion, we mentioned so many of its descriptions, including, as we mentioned in the text of the book this evening, that its water, it would be whiter than milk and sweeter than honey, and its smell would be more attractive than the smell of perfume or musk, that whoever drinks from it one time would never thirst again, that its source would be from Al-Kawthar, a river in paradise, and that its length would be equal to a month's journey, its width likewise from one corner to another of it would be equal in distance, its drinking utensils would be equal to the number of stars, and so on. So these are the questions, inshallah, that we should look at from the last week's lecture. This evening we would like to continue with those matters which are related to the matters or the affairs or the events of Al-Qiyamah. And these matters actually require our attention, and we should look at them as matters of a serious nature, because they are a reality that can only be known by revelation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some of the information concerning these things in the Quran, and some of it in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order for us to take a lesson from it. That it would be a warning for those who are inclined towards doing evil, that they will be aware of what's going to happen, that they will be called to account, that their deeds would be judged, that everything would be recorded, and people will be called to account for what they do. And also it will be an encouragement for us, if we know that everything that we do, whether small or great, is being recorded, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward us for our good deeds, even if they are small, then it is an encouragement for us to do more and more and more good deeds for hope of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, the point that Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah mentions in point number 63, inshallah the handout will come after a little while. He says, وَالصِّرَاط حَقٌ يَجُوزُهُ الْأَبْرَارُ وَيَزِلُّ عَنْهُ الْفُجَّارُ. That الصِّرَاط, the bridge, it is true, it is a reality. It will be passed over by al-abrar, the righteous, the good people. وَيَزِلُّ عَنْهُ الْفُجَّارُ. And the evil or wicked, they would fall from it, they would slip from it into the hellfire. In the sharh, the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, hafidhahullah, mentions the first point, the meaning of as-sirat. As-sirat, linguistically, he said it means at-tariq. As-sirat, they didn't bring it yet. This is just one cup. They will bring after all. As-sirat, linguistically, it means at-tariq, or the way, or a road. And in the technical terminology of the Sharia, it means al-jasr al-mamdud ala jahannam liya'bur an-nas alayhi ila jannah. It is a bridge, an extended bridge that will extend over the hellfire, and its purpose is to be a road for the people to pass over the hellfire into the paradise. Can someone take their hands off? It will be the road or the way for the people who are going into the paradise to cross over the hellfire to reach the paradise. And here the Shaykh said that this sirat or tariq or this bridge, it is confirmed in al-kitab, the Quran, as-sunnah, the way, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also qawl as-salaf, the saying of the early generations of the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 71, وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقَضِيًّا. That there is no one of you except that they will be وَارِدُهَا. They will be of those who would cross over it, or those who would fall into it, according to the different explanations of the scholars of tafsir. And al-wurud, some of the scholars said it means to cross over, and some of them said it means to fall into. Wa im minkum illa wariduha, that there is no one from amongst you except that they will be of those who would pass over or fall into it. And this is something, a decree from your Lord that must take place. كان على ربك حتما مقضيا. It is something that has to take place. There is no escape from it. Here the Shaykh says that some of the scholars from the early generations of the Muslims, including as-Sahaba and Tabi'in, and from amongst the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who was one of the great scholars of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from amongst the Tabi'in, Qatada one of the great scholars of Tabi'in, and Zayd ibn Aslam, said that the meaning of al-wurud in this ayat, it means al-murur ala sirat. It means crossing over al-sirat. It means to cross over the bridge. Another group of scholars, from amongst them, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, who was one of the greatest scholars from amongst Sahaba, probably the most learned of the scholars of Sahaba in the meaning of Quran, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, and he said that al-wurud in this ayah, it means al-dukhul fi-nar. It means that you will actually enter into the fire, lakin yunjawna minha, except that the believers would be saved from it. They would be rescued from it. Yani, they would fall into the fire, they would enter the fire, but they would be taken out of it. These are the two opinions of the scholars that the Shaykh mentions here, and he doesn't go into that much detail concerning it. But in any case, both opinions have evidence. There are ayats in the Quran that seem to suggest the meaning here of this word, يعني إلا واردها, this expression that there is no one from amongst you except that they would be of those who would cross over or fall into. Some of them said that it means to fall into, such as in the ayah in Surah Hud, chapter 98, concerning Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَوْرَدَهُمْ النَّارِ, يعني Fir'aun and his people, Allah would cause them to, فَأَوْرَدَهُمْ, He would cause them to enter into النار. And here the meaning of wurud, it means to enter into the fire. That Allah will cause them to enter into the fire. And there are other ayats in the Quran, from amongst them, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 86, وَنَسُوقُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمْ وَرَدًا. And we will drive the mujrimeen, the criminals, the disbelievers, and evil and wicked people to إِلَى جَهَنَّمْ وَرَضًا, يعني they will go to the paradise and enter it. Here the meaning, again it means to enter. From these ayats and similar verses, others besides that, is the basis of the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas and those who are with him, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, who said that in the ayat under discussion, that the meaning is that everyone, without exception, there is no one except that they would enter into the hellfire, and this is at the time of crossing a sirat. Those who held the other opinion also had proofs in a number of verses, and from amongst them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 72, ثَمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, then we will rescue or save those who had taqwa, the people of taqwa, the people of piety and righteousness. وَنَذَرُوا الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا, and we will leave the ظَالِمِين, the wrongdoers, meaning the disbelievers and the pagans, to fall into it, to fall humbly on their knees, yani on their knees in the fire. This verse, the scholars who said that passing over the sirat, it doesn't mean that they have, that you have to fall, that you have to enter the fire, due to a hadith reported in the Sahih, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore by Allah, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose hand is my life, meaning I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَلِجْ النَّار أَحَدْ بَايَعَ تَحْتَ الشَّجْرَةِ, that no one of the people who gave allegiance to me under the tree, the allegiance, the bay'ah, Ridwan, the bay'ah of pleasure with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said no one of them who gave that pledge to him would enter the fire. Not one of them. And in this ayah, if we understand the meaning of wariduha, it means that everyone would definitely enter the fire, then it will also include them. But in this ayah, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no one of them who gave the pledge under the tree would enter the fire. One of the companions, one of the women from companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think it's Hafsa, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what about the saying of Allah? What about the saying of Allah? Wa in minkum illa wariduha. She understood it means that there is no one of you except you would enter the fire at the time of crossing the bridge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it is not so, and it is not applicable to them. He said that what is applicable here is the saying of Allah, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then we will rescue those, the people of taqwa. وَنَذَرُوا الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جَثِيًّا. And we will leave the ظالمين in it on their knees, humbled on their knees. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that not all of the people would enter the hellfire, that some people would be saved from entering the hellfire. And the correct opinion of these two opinions is the reconciliation, the jam or tawfiq between the two of them, and that is, as some of the scholars said, that the wurud, the passing over the sirat, it is of two types. There's wurud of people who, it means they would pass over without falling in, and there's wurud of people who would fall in. The disbelievers would fall in. Yani the meaning of this ayat, that there is no one except that you would be of those who wariduha, if it means falling in, it is applicable to the disbelievers. But the other meaning of it, passing over it, it is applicable to the believers who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would save from falling into the fire, and that as is indicated in the other verse, Surah to Maryam 19:72, then we will save those who have taqwa, the people of taqwa. So, some of the people when passing over the bridge would fall in, and some of the people would be saved from falling in, and they would cross the bridge safely, entering into the paradise. And this is a summary of the discussion of the scholars. Though the discussion concerning this matter is a lengthy discussion, but I have attempted to summarize it. And as I said, perhaps the correct opinion is the reconciliation between the two opinions, that wurud here it means in reference to the disbelievers that they will fall in. Definitely, there is no disbeliever except they have to enter the hellfire. And as for the believers, then Allah may save some of them or many of them from falling into the hellfire, and they will cross safely into the paradise, although some of the believers also may fall into the hellfire, and after some time, as reported in some of the hadith in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, they will be taken out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after being burnt to charcoal. And in some of the narrations said after Allah finished judging over the people, those who fell in, who He decided to take out, He will take them out, and they will be burnt, and they will be dipped into the water of hayat. Ma hayat, or nahr hayat, the water of life, or the river of life, or it will be poured over them, and they would come forth to life again, like a plant or a growth comes forth from a seed. So the believers would pass over, and we ask Allah to be amongst those who will be saved from falling in the hellfire, and who will pass safely into the paradise. And the disbelievers, all of them, without exception, would definitely fall off the sirat into the fire. Then the Shaykh says, he mentions a portion of a very lengthy hadith reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the narrations in Bukhari are more than one. He reported this hadith in a number of places, and it's a very lengthy hadith. And it has many incidents related to Yawm al-Qiyamah and the matters associated with it. Here the Shaykh, he quotes from a portion of that hadith. The hadith is reported from Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and as I said, it is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayh. In that hadith, he quotes the portion that is related to as-sirat, the bridge, and he says, ثُمَّ يُضْرَبُ الْجَسْرُ أو الْجِسْرُ عَلَى جَهَنَّمْ وَتَحِلُّ الشَّفَاعَ وَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُمَّ سَلَّمْ سَلَّمْ. This hadith has been reported, or this part of the hadith has been reported in different wording, yani slightly different wording, but the meaning is basically the same, that then the jasr, or the jisr, which is the bridge, the sirat, it will be laid out, ala jahannam, over the hellfire, wa tahillu al-shafa'a, and the intercession will be allowed at that point. وَيَقُولُونَ, and they will be saying, and according to other narrations, those who will be saying this are the Anbiya. In some of the narrations, the Prophet ﷺ said, no one would be speaking at that time, except the Anbiya. And they will be saying, اللَّهُمَّ سَلَّمْ سَلَّمْ, or Allah, save them, allow them to be safe, to cross over safely. The Prophets will be praying for the believers, that Allah allow them to cross over safely. It will be indeed a test for all people in Yawm al-Qiyamah. No one will enter paradise except they will cross over this bridge. Many will not make it. And so the prophets will be praying for the believers, asking Allah to make it easy for them to pass over. In some of the narrations of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, ثَمَّ يُؤْتَى بِالْجِسْرِ. Then the bridge will be brought forth, فَيُجْعَلُ بَيْنَ ظَهْرِ جَهَنَّمَ. And it will be placed over the two sides of paradise, over the two sides of the hellfire, from one end to the other end. And in some of the narrations, it said that the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَكُونُ أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُجِيزُ. And I will be the first one who will cross over the bridge. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, I will be the first one who would cross over the bridge. وَدُعَى الرسول يَوْمَئِذٍ. And the supplication of the messengers of Allah عليهم السلام, the supplication of the messengers of Allah on that day or at that time would be Allahumma sallim sallim. That all of them would be supplicating to Allah that Allah allow the believers to cross over safely. Here the Shaykh says that this hadith, this is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and it is agreed upon, it is confirmed without a doubt by the Ahl Sunnah, the people of Sunnah. Also, and this hadith, yani in the English translation of Bukhari, you can find it in a number of places, but the problem, perhaps if we look, the page numbering is different from the old printing of Bukhari and the new printing. Even the numbering system is different, unfortunately, because in the original translation of Sahih al-Bukhari by Dr. Muhsin Khan, the hadiths were numbered in each volume separately from one on. In the second volume, they started again from number one, instead of numbering the hadith from the beginning of Bukhari to the end. And in the Arabic editions, it was numbered from, yani, for example, in the first volume from 1 to 1,000, in the second volume from 1,001 to 2,000, and so on. In the new translation of Bukhari by Dr. Muhsin Khan, the one published by Maktab al-Dar al-Salam, alhamdulillah, they followed the continuous numbering system as it is in the Arabic books, and that's the one that I prefer to use because it coincides with the explanation of Bukhari by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, Fath al-Bari. The new English translation of Bukhari, it's the same translation but the new printing by Maktab al-Dar al-Salam, followed the numbering system of the Arabic explanation by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani, entitled Fath al-Bari. In any case, in volume 9, on page 322 to 325, in Kitab al-Tawheed, the Book of Tawheed. If you look in, probably in the same last volume, even in the old printing, in the Book of Tawheed, the 24th subtitle or subchapter, you will find some of those narrations from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu and other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning this matter. Here the Shaykh says, and the second point concerning this topic is Sifat As-Sirat, the description of As-Sirat. What is the description of the Sirat? In the same narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, reported by al-Bukhari, and in a similar narration from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, which is also reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, he quotes some portions of those hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, what is as-sirat? Or in some of the narrations, ma al-jasr. What is this jasr, the sirat? What is this bridge that he described would be laid over the hellfire? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he described it as madhadatun mazillatun alayhi khataatif wa kalalib wa hasakatun مفلتحة لها شوكة عقيفة تكون بنجد يقال لها السعدان. And he said that the description of the bridge is that it would be slippery, very slippery. It would be slippery. And over it there would be clamps, خطاطيف, clamps, وكلاليب, hooks. Hooks like a thorny seed. He described these hooks by a description that was known to them. He said it was like a thorny seed that is wide at one side and narrow at the other side and has thorns with bent ends. Yani has thorns with bent ends. Yani sharp thorns on the end of this thorny seed. So he said that it was a slippery bridge which has clamps and hooks with sharp bent thorns on it. And he said at the end of that description that this thorny seed is found in Najd, in a place in the Arabian Peninsula, and is called As-Sa'dan. Yani, it is known as As-Sa'dan. If anybody saw this thorny seed, they would have an idea, a small model of what those clamps and hooks that will be on the Sirat look like. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, this one on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, وَبِهِ كَلَالِيبْ مِثْلُ شَوْقِ السَّعَدَانِ غَيْرِ أَنَّهَا لَا يَعْلَمْ قَدْرَ عَظِمَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَتَخْتَفُ النَّاسَ بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ. He said that also concerning the Sirat or the Jasr or the bridge, he said that it would have hooks like the thorn of Sa'dan, the thorny seed that is known as Sa'dan, except that no one could know the magnitude, the greatness of these hooks or thorns except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they wouldn't be small thorns like the one you found in the desert in the Arabian Peninsula, but they would be tremendous hooks and thorns that people would be caught on. And he said, فَتَخْتَفُ النَّاسَ بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ. Then it would grab hold of the people. Those thorns would grab hold of the people according to their deeds, according to their actions. And this hadith is hadith number 6573 in volume 8 of the Sahih al-Bukhari, pages 306 to 308. The other one is 7439, if anybody has the new printing of the English translation of Sahih al-Bukhari. In another hadith, in case someone has the old printing, you may be able to find it if you look in the book of al-Riqaq, yani those things related to softening of the heart, in the chapter As-Sirat Jasr Jahannam, that the bridge, it is a sirat, it is a bridge over Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also reported to have said in a hadith in the Sahih of Muslim, also reported from Abu Huraira or Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, بَلَغَنِي. And this expression, بَلَغَنِي, it is an expression that the scholars of hadith explain its meaning is that the reporter of a hadith sometimes doesn't mention the chain of narrators that the hadith came through. Yani it came from someone who heard it from a tabi'i, who heard it from a sahabi, who heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes they used to say like this, balaghani, it reached me. Yani this saying, without giving the chain of narrators. And normally such a hadith is considered da'if. But here Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, in his book, the Sahih of Muslim, mentions this report from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. After the previous hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, says that Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, said, بَلَغَنِي أَنَّهُ أَدَقُّ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ وَأَحَدُّ مِنَ السَّيْفِ. Yani, he said that verily it, meaning as-sirat, or the bridge, it is thinner than a strand of hair, and it is sharper than a sword. Yani the bridge would be thin. It won't be easy to cross. It will be very thin, like a strand of hair, and it will be sharp as a sword. And remember, it's also slippery. Slippery, subhanAllah. We seek refuge in Allah and ask for His help on that day when the people are crossing As-Sirat. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim and also reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, but in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed it's reported on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, and she attributed it to the Prophet. Yani, she She didn't say, as Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, that it reached me, but she said it came from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next topic, the third and last topic concerning as-sirat, the Shaykh says, al-ubur ala as-sirat wa kayfiyatuhu, the crossing over the sirat and how it will be. How will be that crossing? Keeping in mind, brothers and sisters, that this is a reality. It is haqqun, it is true, it will really happen, it will take place. It is only known to us by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a warning to us, as a warning that there is going to come a day when we will be subjected to this terrifying experience of crossing over the hellfire, over a bridge that's thin as a strain of hair, sharp as a sword, and slippery. And it will have hooks and thorns on it that will catch the people who will slip off of it. And some of them will slip off and fall into the hellfire. And the people will cross according to their actions. Or the people will be grabbed by those thorns according to their actions. Meaning that the people who have evil deeds, they will be caused to slip off. And the people who have evil deeds also may be caused to be slipped and caught on those hooks or those clamps. Here the Shaykh says that no one will cross over the sirat except al-mu'minun, the believers. And the disbelievers will not be able to cross. No disbeliever will cross over the bridge. The only ones who will cross are those who have iman. And they will cross according to their deeds. And this is based on the previously mentioned hadith. It is a long hadith, and here he quotes another portion of it, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, فَيَمُرُّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ كَطَرْفَ الْعَيْنِ, that the believers, some of them would pass like the blinking of an eye. They would pass as quickly as one can blink their eye. They would have crossed. As quickly as you can blink your eye, according to the deeds of the people, Allah will allow some of them to cross that quickly. And we ask Allah to make us from amongst them. وَكَالْبَرَقْ, and some of them would cross over like the speed of lightning. Like the speed of lightning. How fast is lightning? That quickly some would pass over the sirat. وَكَالْرِيحْ, and some of them would pass over at the speed of a strong wind. And some like a bird. وَكَأَجَاوِيدْ الْخَيْرِ وَالْرِكَابِ, and some would pass over like the speed of fast horses or fast camels. Obviously that's a lot slower than lightning or the blink of an eye. But even if we are from amongst them, alhamdulillah, it would be Allah's mercy upon us. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَنَاجٍ مُسَلَّمْ, there are some who would cross over safely. They would escape. They would be successful in crossing without any harm being caused to them. فَنَاجٍ مُسَلَّمْ, yani they will be successful in crossing and no harm would be caused to them. Then he said, وَنَاجٍ مَخْدُوشْ, and some, they would cross over, but they would cross over with some scratches from the hooks and the clamps on the sirat. But alhamdulillah, they will cross. Even if they didn't escape completely safe, but they will cross. وَمَكْدُوسْ فِي نَارْ جَهَنَّمْ, and some of them will fall into the hellfire. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This is a description of how the people would cross over the bridge. Some would cross quickly as the winking or the blinking of an eye, some as the speed of lightning, some like a fast, strong wind, some like speedy horses or camels. Some would cross without any harm coming to them, and some would cross over with scratches, and some would fall into the hellfire. It has also been reported in the Sahih of Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَجْرِي بِهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ, that their deeds would race with them, or they would run according to their deeds. وَنَبِيُّكُمْ قَائِمْ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ يَقُولُ يَا رَبْ سَلَّمْ سَلَّمْ. He said that your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time when the people are going across according to their deeds, he would be standing at the bridge saying, Ya Rabb, O my Lord, sallam sallam, yani, let them cross over safely. Hatta ta'ajizu a'mal al-ibad, hatta yajia al-rajul, fala yastati'u al-sayr illa zahfan. Yani, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that some people, their deeds would be unable to carry them across. Yani, the people who had the most good deeds and the best of deeds would travel across quickly, like the blink of an eye or the speed of lightning and so on. And some people, they would cross over, but their deeds were so few that their deeds were incapable of carrying them across. Hatta yajia al-rajul, and such that to the extent that a person will come, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيلَ الصَّيْرِ, he would not be able to cross the bridge illa zahfan, except crawling. Yani, he would go across, but he would crawl across the bridge, yani slowly, with great difficulty and fear and pain. This hadith is reported by Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, and Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu in the Sahih of Muslim. And the last quotation that the Shaykh mentions, or next to the last quotation that he mentions concerning this, is that which is reported in the Sahih of al-Bukhari, also on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, another portion of the same hadith. He said, حَتَّى يَمُرُّ آخِرَهُمْ يُصْحَبْ سَحْبًا. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after describing the different people, how they would cross according to their deeds, he said that the last of the people to cross over, حَتَّى يَمُرُّ آخِرَهُمْ, he would be the last one who would cross over. After describing the different people, how they would cross according to their deeds, he said that the last of the people to cross over, حَتَّى يَمُرُّ آخِرَهُمْ, he will be the last one who will cross over. The Prophet ﷺ said, يُصْحَبْ سَحْبًا, yani, it would be as if he is being dragged across the bridge. Yani, one person would cross over, crawling, and another person, the last person who would cross over, would cross over as though he was being dragged across the bridge. That's how slow he would cross over, and obviously it would be painful. And we ask Allah for safety and security for the believers in this time of test and trial. The Shaykh finally says concerning this matter that the first of those who would cross the bridge from amongst the Anbiya, the Prophet alayhi wasalam, would be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from amongst the nations, the first nation to cross would be the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is based on the authentic hadith from the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, which he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَأَكُونُ أَنَا وَأُمَّتِي أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُجِيزَهَا, that I and my ummah, my followers, would be the first who would cross over this bridge. وَلَا يَتَكَلَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ إِلَّا الرُّسُلُ, and no one would speak on that day. All people would be silent. Nobody would speak except الرسل, the messengers. وَدُعَى الرسل يَوْمَئِذٍ اللَّهُمَّ سَلَّمْ سَلَّمْ, and the supplication of the messengers on that day, it would be simply these words, اللَّهُمَّ سَلَّمْ سَلَّمْ, O Allah, allow them safety, safety. This is the extent of what the Shaykh mentioned concerning this topic, and I hope that even though we have discussed it quickly, and the subject matter requires a more lengthy discussion, and the hadith concerning it need to be referred back to, we should look in the sections of Al-Bukhari and Muslim concerning these matters, the matters of the resurrection and the judgment, the bridge and such matters of Sirat, and that which is related to it, and the descriptions of it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of through revelation, through the Quran, through the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to know with yaqeen, with certainty, the reality of what we are indeed going to be faced with. And the next point, the Al-Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah mentions point number 64 is related to al-shafa'a, the intercession. And we shouldn't be confused here between intercession, meaning seeking to get near to Allah by unlawful or illegal ways, asking somebody to intercede for us, whether the pious or righteous or saints or whoever, while we are in this life, whether the living or the dead. We shouldn't be confused between this intercession, tawassul, and what we mean here by intercession, al-shafa'ah. There is a difference, even though in English they may be translated the same, but tawassul is different from al-shafa'ah. We discussed al-tawassul on many occasions, and we said al-tawassul is of two types, that which is lawful from the sunnah, and that which is unlawful, or the innovative tawassul, such as seeking blessings, or seeking help or assistance by supplicating to the dead, the people who are in the grave, or saints or otherwise. In any case, the lawful mean of tawassul, it is seeking to get near to Allah by doing good deeds. Through our good deeds which we have done, or supplicating to Allah by His names and characteristics and so on. Or asking the righteous person to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us, as was done in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people used to ask him to supplicate to Allah, and after his death, they used to ask from amongst his companions, the best of them, Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiyallahu anhu. The Imam says, point number 64, وَيَشْفَعُ نَبِيُّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مَنْ دَخَلَ النَّارِ مِنْ أُمَّتِهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ. That our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would intercede for those from amongst his ummah who would enter the fire, ahl al-kabair, the people who committed major sins. Yani the people who committed major sins and they didn't repent from them in this life and they died without repenting, on yawmul qiyamah, they would have two situations. One, Allah may justly punish them for their sins, or Allah may forgive them. Those who Allah doesn't forgive, but He punishes them justly, then they are the Ahl Kabair that the Prophet ﷺ would intercede for at that time. He said that he would intercede for those amongst his ummah, from the Ahl Kabair, the people of major sins, who would enter the fire, فَيَخْرُجُونَ بِشَفَاعَتِهِ. Then they would come out of the fire due to the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ. بَعْدَمَا اِحْتَرَقُوا وَصَارُوا فَهْمًا وَهَمَمًا فَيَدْكُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ بِشِفَاعَتِهِ. But they wouldn't come out by intercession of the Prophet ﷺ until after they were burnt up by the fire, until they became like burnt coal and ashes. Then, after that punishment, for some time, however long it may be, as Allah will, justly for their sins in this world, then they would be released by the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ, or those who Allah would allow to intercede, and they would then enter the paradise. This is the Ahl Tawheed, the people of Tawheed, the people who died without making shirk, without worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they committed major sins, such as stealing or killing or something like this, engaging in interest or whatever. Then Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah says, وَلِسَائِرْ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَ شَفَاعَاتٍ. And also for the other prophets and the believers and the angels, they are also intercessions. Yani Allah would also allow the other prophets to intercede, and the believers to intercede, and the angels to intercede. قَالَ تَعَالَى. And here he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 28, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ الْقَضَىٰ وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ. That no one will be interceding except for those whom Allah is pleased with. Except for the one who Allah is pleased with. Yani no one will be allowed to intercede except that Allah is pleased with that person, and they would not be allowed to intercede for anyone except that Allah is pleased with the one who they want to intercede for. وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ. And they would be standing in awe, in anxiety and fear, for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time, some people they will be allowed to intercede, but no one would be allowed to intercede except the one whom Allah is pleased with. And in point number 66, he says, وَلَا تَنْفَى الْكَافِرُ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ, that the disbeliever would not benefit from the intercession of those who could intercede. And if someone from amongst the believers wanted to intercede for the disbelievers, their intercession would not benefit. The disbeliever would not be benefited by the intercession of anyone. With only one exception that's reported authentically from the Prophet ﷺ, that he would be allowed to intercede one time for one disbeliever, that is his uncle Abu Talib, who died on shirk, who died on the pagan religion of his ancestors. But, yani, and Allah knows best, perhaps due to the good that he did to protect the Prophet ﷺ and to protect his mission and that which he was sent with, and he died in that condition as a result of standing with the Prophet and trying to protect him and stand by him from the boycott of the pagan disbelievers, Abu Talib died from that. So perhaps it is for this reason that Allah will allow one exception. And that intercession would not be for him to come out of the fire, but it would be an intercession simply to reduce his punishment. How much time is remaining before the Adhan? And we will take some of this point and we will complete it next week inshallah. In any case, the Shaykh begins in the explanation of this point of Ash-Shafa'ah with the definition of Ash-Shafa'ah. He says that Ash-Shafa'ah linguistically, it means to make something which is odd even, to take something which is an odd number and make it even. This is the meaning of Ash-Shafa'ah. But the technical meaning, the legal meaning in the Sharia, it means التوسط للغير بجلب منفعة أو دفع المضرة. It is that someone will act as a go-between, an intermediary or an intercessor for someone else in order to gain some benefit for them or to repulse some harm from them. Yani intercession in the legal terminology of the Sharia, it means that a person will speak up on behalf of another person in order to get some benefit for that second person, or to protect them from some harm. And if somebody is going to be punished, then somebody may speak up for them to try to prevent the punishment from coming upon them. Or somebody may speak up for another person who is in need of some help, and another person may speak up on their behalf and say, this is a good man, this is a good person, why don't you help them, they're really in need, or something like this. This is the meaning of a shafa'ah. It is to do with Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah. We will discuss it in detail. In any case, there are times, it is true, when the people are standing waiting for the judgment to begin. That is the time, the frightful time of horror, when no one will care about anyone else. Everyone will be worried about themselves. No child will worry about their parents. A child will say to their mother, when their mother came, as the Prophet ﷺ recorded one hadith, that a woman will go to her child and say, give me one hasana, one. Yani, just give me one of your good deeds to help me, perhaps I will get over. And he will say, get away from me, get away. A child will say to their mother, can a child say to their mother, get away from me, when their mother is in need? This is how severe will be that time. This is what you are referring to. At that time, for sure, no one will be concerned about anyone else. As Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet in the hadith in Bukhari, when she was informed that on the day of resurrection, the people would be standing naked, barefooted, uncircumcised, she said, men and women, they will be standing in this condition. Will people look at one another? The Prophet said, it is too frightening for anyone to look at another person. Naked people, they will not look at another person. People will be too frightened and too concerned about the severity of the hour of judgment. But there will come a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow intercession. And the prophets will intercede, the angels will intercede, the believers will intercede in general, and specifically the shuhada, the martyrs will intercede. And all of this will be in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows. No one can intercede except bi-iznillah, by the permission of Allah, except for the one who Allah is pleased with, the one who intercedes and the one who is interceded for. These are the conditions of Ash-Shafa'ah that we will mention inshallah as we go along. And the Shafa'ah is of different types. There are many types of intercession. As the Shaykh says, as he goes on, he says that Ash-Shafa'ah on the day of resurrection is of two types. Yani two primary types. خَاصَ بِالنَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم وَعَامَ لَهُ وَلِغَيْرِهِ. Yani there's one type that is particularly or especially exclusively for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and there's another type that is general for him and for others. Yani that he would intercede for some people in that general intercession, and others, including the other prophets or the angels or the believers, would also share in that type of intercession, the general one. As for the one that is خاص, or especially exclusively for the Prophet ﷺ, it is الشفاعه العظمى. It is the great intercession. And that would take place, as the Shaykh says, في أهل الموقف, at the time when all of humanity, from the first and the last, all people who lived on this earth, would all be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waiting for Him to begin the judgment. And the people will be faced with, and they will experience great hardship, anxiety, and fear, and terror. And they would not be able to bear it. And it would be overwhelming. At that time, when the people are in this very, very terrifying situation, they would go one by one to the Prophet, first to Adam, alayhi salam, and then to Nuh, alayhi salam, and then to Ibrahim, alayhi salam, then Musa, alayhi salam, then Isa, alayhi salam, asking each of them one by one to intercede with your Lord for us, to get on with the judgment. It's very frightening. The sun is so close that the people are sweating. They are drenching in their sweat and fear and heat and horror of what's going to happen to them. Finally, they said, go to Adam, go to Noah, go to Abraham, Moses, go to the prophets. Each of them one by one, but all of them would make an excuse. I can't do it. Until finally, they would go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would be allowed by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin the judgment. And then Allah would come forth and begin the judgment. This intercession to begin the judgment is al-shafa'a al-uzma, the great intercession. It is the exclusive right of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one else would be allowed it. Here the Shaykh says that the description of this event has been mentioned in a very famous hadith. But that hadith has been declared to be weak by many of the scholars. And for that reason, he said, now he just took some discussion concerning this from the authentic reports. And here he says that many of the scholars simply mention concerning al-shafa'ah, the shafa'ah for the Ahl Kabair, the shafa'ah for the people who committed major sins. And the reason for this, as Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says, and also Ibn Abil Izz, the Hanafi scholar who gave the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Sahawiyyah, and we mentioned his saying concerning this previously in the study of Al-Aqidah Al-Sahawiyyah, he says that the scholars of the Salaf of the early generations of the Muslims, mentioning only or restraining themselves to the mention of the intercession for the people who committed major sins, the reason for this and the objective behind it was as a refutation of the Khawarij and those who followed them from amongst the Mu'tazila. And in those groups who denied al-Shafa'ah intercession, they denied it. For this reason, many of the scholars of Sunnah, they mentioned only one type of intercession, the intercession for the people of major sin, because those deviant groups rejected the fact of intercession for the people who committed major sins. As we know, the Khawarij as well as the Mu'tazila held that people who commit major sins would be punished in the hellfire forever. Yani believers, Muslims, the followers of the Prophet who died without repenting from their major sins, they said they would be in the hellfire and forever, never to come out. So for that reason, they said they rejected intercession for the people who committed major sins because of the belief. The Khawarij, the belief that a person who commits a major sin is a kafir. The Khawarij, they said a person who commits a major sin, who drinks alcohol, is a kafir. The Mu'tazila said that he is bayna manzilatayn, between two positions. Yani, he's not really in iman and not really in kufr. He is in between. But ultimately, the Mu'tazila agreed with the Khawarij. In the end, they said, even though he's between two stations in this life, but in the next life he'll be in the hellfire forever. Both of them are wrong. Both of them are wrong. In fact, it is authentically reported in innumerable hadith from Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and other authentic narrations that the Prophet ﷺ said that people who committed major sins, if they didn't repent from it and Allah didn't forgive them, then Allah would allow intercession for them. Just 1 minute after the adhan, inshallah, to complete this thought, and then we'll complete it next week, inshallah. Yani, the last point that we want to mention here, it is concerning the shafa'a, the saying of Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, and is also mentioned by Ibn Abil'iz, Imam Ibn Abil'iz, rahimahumullah, that the scholars of the Sunnah, by mentioning the shafa'a, or the intercession for the people committed major sins, it was their intention to refute those who deviated from amongst the Khawarij, the Mu'tazila, in their belief that the people who committed major sins would be eternally in the hellfire along with the disbelievers. He says here that this shafa'a, it is not denied. Yani the shafa'a, the specific great intercession of the Prophet ﷺ that's exclusive for him, it has not been denied by the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. And they even agreed to this intercession, the intercession to begin the judgment. But what they rejected and disbelieved in was the intercession for the people who committed major sins to come out of the hellfire. Here the Shaykh says that this intercession and every type of intercession, it has a condition, or one of its conditions is the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is based on the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 255. مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ Who is it that can intercede in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except by His permission? Yani it is a question, in Arabic language, this type of question is understood to mean that no one is allowed to intercede. No one will be allowed. Who will be allowed to intercede? No one will be allowed to intercede. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ Except by His permission. The second type of intercession is the general intercession. And it is the intercession for those who would enter the fire from amongst the believers who committed the major sins, and it would be for them to come out of the fire after they were burnt up, till they reach the condition of being like burnt coal or charcoal or ashes. And this is based on the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَمَّا أَهْلُ النَّارِ الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَهْلُهَا فَلَا يَمُوتُونَ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيُونَ As for the people of the fire, أَهْلُ النَّارِ Those who are actually the people of the hellfire, who intended for it, they would not die in it, nor would they live in it. They would not have death or life. The people of the hellfire, whose permanent place is hellfire. وَلَكِنْ أُنَاسٌ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ تُصِيبُهُمْ النَّارُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ أَوْ قَالَ بِخَطَايَاهُمْ فَيُمِيتُهُمْ إِمَاتَةً حَتَّى إِذَا صَارُوا فَحْمًا أُذِنَا فِي الشَّفَاعَةِ And in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, as for the people, the real people of hellfire who are permanently there, the disbelievers, they would neither die in it nor live, but there are other people who would taste the fire due to their sins, due to their acts of disobedience to Allah, and they would be caused to die in it. A death that they would come in the form like burnt charcoal or coal, and at that time permission would be given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give permission for intercession. And that intercession would be from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other prophets, the angels and the believers. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir rahimahullah says in his book, Al-Nihaya, on page 204 in the second volume, وَهَذَا إِثْنَادٌ صَحِيحٌ عَلَى شَرْطَ الشَّيْخِينَ وَلَمْ يُخْرُجَاهُ أَوْ يُخْرُجَاهُ مِنْ هَذَا الْوَجْهِ Yani that this hadith, it has an authentic chain of narrators in agreement or in accordance with the condition of the two sheikhs, Shaykhain al-Bukhari and Muslim, though neither of them reported it in their sahih. This type of shifa'a will be for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and others amongst the prophets, the angels and the believers, based on the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى شَفَعَتْ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَشَفَعَ النَّبِيُّونَ وَشَفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَ إِلَّا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ فَيَقْبِضُ قَبْضَ مِنَ النَّارِ فَيَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا قَوْمًا لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قط قَدْ عَادُوا حِمَمًا متفق عليه ذكر بعض البخاري مسلم here in this hadith the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah would say at that time that the angels have interceded This is the proof that the angels will intercede. After the angels interceded, and the prophets have interceded, and the believers have interceded, and there is no one remaining to intercede except Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful of those who are mercy, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. At that time he will take a handful of people from the hellfire, and they will come out, or he will bring out a people who haven't done any good at all, and they will have been turned into coal or charcoal, yani, or ashes. The Prophet ﷺ in this hadith, in the whole of the hadith, he mentioned that some people will be taken out who did a little bit of good, or some people who did less than that, and so on and so on and so forth, until after everyone who was allowed to intercede would intercede, there would be no one remaining who had any good. At that point, there will be no one who could intercede except the most merciful of those who are merciful, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will take a handful of people out of the hellfire, and how much is a handful, it is only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This type of intercession, it is the one that is rejected by the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, based on their madhab, or their belief that the one who commits a major sin is eternally in the hellfire. So they said intercession would not be able to benefit them, and we refute them with the two following points, that what their opinion is in contradiction to the hadith which have been reported from the Prophet ﷺ, mutawatira, by innumerable chains of authentic narration, and second, that their opinion is in contradiction to the ijma' of the early generation of the Muslim. And finally, the Shaykh says that the condition for al-shafa'ah too, that it has to be with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 255, مَنْ دَلَّذِي يَشْفَعَ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is it that can intercede except by his permission? And the second condition, it has to be by the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the one who is interceding and the one who is interceded for. This is based on the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 28, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ابْتَضَى. No one would intercede except whom Allah is pleased with. And as for the disbelievers, no intercession would benefit them. This is based on the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Mudathir, verse 48, the saying of Allah, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. That the intercession of those who could intercede would not benefit them. That is the disbelievers. If someone tried to intercede for them, they would not be allowed. And the exception to this is the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ for his uncle, Abu Talib, who would be in a condition in the fire that it would be up to his sandals. His feet would be boiling in the fire, and it would make his brain to boil. And his condition would be so bad. It would be, even though he is the least punished in the hellfire, he would think he is the worst punished. His punishment will be so severe, he would feel as though he is the most severely punished, and in fact he would be the one who is least punished in the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ said concerning this, وَلَوْلَا أَنَا لَكَانَ فِي الدَّرَكِ الْأَسْفَلْ مِنَ النَّارِ. If it was not for me, yani being allowed to intercede by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would be in the lowest degrees of the hellfire. And this hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. So this is a special intercession for the Prophet ﷺ, for his uncle Abu Talib alone. And that is, Allah knows best, due to the help and support that he gave to the Prophet in defending him and defending the message that he came with. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Just quickly, the question in brief that came from the first part, as-sirat, what is intended by the expression as-sirat on the Day of Judgment? It is in reference to the bridge that will be placed over the hellfire. Will everyone, mu'min and kafir, enter the fire when crossing the sirat? The correct opinion is not everyone would enter the fire. No one would pass over it. Yani no one would pass over except that they were fallen, means the kafirs. As for the believers, many of them would pass over without falling in. Give some description of a sirat. We said that it was thinner than a blade, than a strain of hair, sharper than a sword. It was slippery, and it had hooks on the ends of it, which would catch some of the people, or some would fall off it into the hellfire. At what speed would the believers cross the sirat? Some of them would cross like the speed of a blinking of an eye, or the speed of lightning, or strong wind, or fast horses, or camels, and so on, until some would fall, and some would cross as though they are being dragged across. Who will be the first person to cross the sirat? And the first ummah, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, would be the first one to cross the sirat, and the first nation to cross would be the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ. If there are any questions, just quickly, before we go to the salat, perhaps there's 1 minute or so. You don't have the handout? Oh, here. Did anyone not get number 17? There were two. 16 was from last week, and 17 from this week.
براءة من الله ورسوله.